I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody. Here's an advert for Luke's English Podcast Premium. That's my premium subscription service. In Luke's English Podcast Premium, you get extra episodes every month that focus on grammar, vocabulary, pronunciation. That's where I use my particular set of skills to help you improve your English so that you can speak like me. That's the idea. I publish premium episodes in series, you may have noticed, and you can get access to all of those premium series in the Luke's English Podcast app or online. Just go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium to get started. It's very simple, and you'll see, it's fantastic. I'm not very good at selling things. But anyway, I think this product sells itself. Luke's English Podcast Premium. Learn to speak English like me. teacherluke.co.uk/premium. Okay, now let's get started with this new episode, and here we go. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, ladies and gents. Welcome back to the podcast. Are you ready for your regular dose of English listening practice? Well, I hope you are, because here we go. We're going to start. So this is episode number 663, and it's another Lying Game with Amber and Paul, this time recorded remotely during the lockdown, fairly late in the evening recently. So the Lying Game is something that Amber, Paul and I have been playing for years on this podcast. Basically, it involves us telling each other stories about our lives, but we can choose to either tell the truth or tell a lie. The others then have to ask questions about those stories and then try to guess if they are made up or not. Points can be won or lost accordingly. So before we start, I just want to point out some bits of language for you to notice while you listen. So we'll start with grammar. Essentially, this game is about storytelling, and most of the time, the stories take place in the past. So there are lots of descriptions of past events and questions in past tenses. If you wanted to, you could look out for things like the grammatical tenses being used. Past simple tense is definitely the most common one. For example, I jumped into the water, or I didn't jump into the water, or did you jump into the water, or why did you jump into the water? In fact, why did you jump into the water? Because I was on fire. Why were you on fire? Actually, I don't know. It's just an example. All right, that's not one of the stories in this episode, by the way. Anyway, so that's past simple tense. But also, watch out for instances of the other narrative tenses that we know and love, past continuous and past perfect, and how they're used in combination with past simple to build a narrative. Past perfect, that's had plus a past participle, just a reminder, just in case you'd forgotten, had and a past participle, that's past perfect. For example, I was going to Ireland because Alice had invited me to stay. So had invited, that's past perfect. That's used to show that certain things happened before the main events of the story. It doesn't mean things that happened a long time ago. That's a common mistake that I often hear or read. But rather, it's used to show background events, things that happened before the main events of the story. For example, I was going to Ireland because Alice had invited me to stay. Alice invited me to stay before this story, before the main events of this story. This is Amber's story, by the way, which is about a journey. So the reason she was going to the airport and doing all those things is because Alice had invited her to stay. So that shows that that happened before the main events of the story. Now, past perfect is not as common as past simple or past continuous, but it's definitely used. although it can be quite hard to hear. It can be hard to notice the had part of past perfect. Alice had invited me to stay. Alice had, it's just a tiny little, it's not, we don't say Alice had invited me to stay. We would say Alice had invited me to stay. It's more just a d sometimes. And even that d sometimes links with a consonant sound in the next word and it becomes sort of invisible. So it's a bit tricky to identify past perfect sometimes when you're listening. Also, we use past continuous, that's was or were, plus an ing verb. For example, I was living in Brighton at the time. I was living, was. Not I was living, but I was living. I was living in Brighton at the time, and we use it to show the situation or context at the time the main events happened, or to show things that happened over and over and over again. For example, now, watch out for these sentences in the episode. And these are sentences that you will hear. Watch out for these sentences. So these ones mainly contain past perfect. So also watch out for the pronunciation. Can you hear the word had in these sentences? So the first one is, we went to Greece. It was the first time we'd ever been on holiday together. It was the first time we'd ever been on holiday together. It was the first time that we'd ever been on holiday together. You could include that as well. So it was the first time in their lives at that point. No previous trip to Greece before then. It was the first time we'd ever been on holiday together. We'd ever. You can hear the dirt because it's sort of easier to hear because there's a vowel sound after it, ever. So we'd ever. It was the first time that we'd ever been on holiday together. Another one that you'll hear is we'd never been outside the UK or Paris. We'd never. It's harder to hear the duh there in the had. We'd never. We'd never. You could either say we'd never or we'd never. You can hear. You can try to notice it in the episode. We'd never been outside together. We'd never been together outside the UK or Paris. Past perfect. Another example. At the time, I was living in Brighton. It was the summer holidays and Alice had invited me to stay with her in Ireland, which is where she's from. And we've already had that one. Alice invited Amber, in this case, earlier than the main events of the story. Alice had already gone home for the school holidays. Or for the holidays. It wasn't the school holidays. Why did you say school holidays? I don't know. Alice had already gone home for the holidays. Alice had already gone home. Alice had already gone home. See, the reason we don't you don't hear the word had is because it's not a stressed word. It's an auxiliary verb, and they tend to get squashed or made smaller. Alice had already gone home for the holidays, and I was joining her. So Alice went home before the main events of this story, and they were making us drink cocktails that I'd never heard of before. I'd never heard of cocktails that I'd never heard of. I had never heard of cocktails that I'd never heard of before. So never before in our lives at that point. Okay, so if you're up for it, you can listen out for bits of grammar like that, but you can also just listen to the stories without worrying about grammar. And you could just play the game with us. Just focus on just trying to understand the stories. And do you think these stories are true or are they untrue? Are they fact or fiction? Are they all real events or are they completely made up? Try to work it out as you listen. You get 1 point for every story that you guess correctly. That's a maximum of 3 points for you. For us playing the game, the point system is equally simple, but for some reason, we always manage to get a bit confused by it, as you'll hear. The stories this time involve drunken nights out. There's also some swearing in this, which you might want to bear in mind if you're using this in class or something. Right, now, before we start, and we're going to start any minute now, I just want to highlight some vocabulary in advance just to help you a bit. These are things that you might not know, like words or little phrases that you might not know, but which I think are pretty important for understanding the stories. So I'd like to just clarify them. The first one is a stag do or a stag party. I have explained this several times on the podcast before, but here we are again. So a stag do is a party that a man has before he gets married. And it usually involves going out with best friends. One of those friends will be the best man at the wedding. And it involves lots of drinking, a trip to another city or country, possibly. Some humiliation of the groom-to-be. For example, often the friends like play a trick on the groom. The groom is the man getting married. So often they'll play a trick on the groom. They might do something to embarrass him in some way. In my case, on my stag do, I had to dress up as Super Mario. I was dressed up as Super Mario. That's another story for another time. But everyone else, no one else was dressed up. It was just me, and I was in this ridiculous Super Mario costume, which was quite funny and humiliating. I spent the entire day dressed as Super Mario. Anyway, so this is a stag do. This is what I'm talking about. So it involves, yeah, drinking, going out with friends, maybe going to another country or city. A lot of English people seem to go to places like Prague or Amsterdam and have a wild time. And often there's a trip to a strip club or something like that. For example, I was on my cousin's stag do. You heard me mention my cousin's stag do in a recent episode when the two of us were dressed as a pantomime horse. Do you remember that? It's called a bachelor party in America. In America. In America. Now, also, we've got the phrase hen do or a hen party. Now, this is not mentioned in the story, but if you learn stag do, you've got to learn hen do as well. They do go together as a pair. Basically, a hen do is the same as a stag do, but for girls. It usually involves going out with a big group of girls, including the bridesmaids, but they've got fancy dress on, or they're all wearing angel wings or something, or maybe they're wearing special t-shirts with the bride's face on. Lots of drinking and fairly lewd behavior, yes, even from the girls, and maybe a male stripper. So there you go. Stag do's and hen do's. That is the kind of rich, deep cultural heritage which makes me proud to be an Englishman. It's Emma's hen do at the weekend. It's known as a bachelorette party in America. Right. Next thing is What the Fuck France? What the Fuck France? This is a comedy TV show that Paul Taylor made on French TV, which made him quite famous among the French. That's French people. So that TV show was called What the Fuck France. Boxers or boxer shorts. Now, we know a boxer is someone who fights, like Mike Tyson, but boxer shorts is actually men's underwear. Okay, so boxer shorts are kind of men's underwear, similar to those worn by boxers. They look a bit like the shorts that boxers wear in the ring, but boxer shorts, underwear that men wear under their trousers. They're kind of shorts. Okay, we call them boxers or boxer shorts. Next phrase is to get whacked. To get whacked. Now, this doesn't mean to get drunk. It means to get assassinated by the mafia. And this is kind of Italian-American slang that you might hear in a Martin Scorsese film. He's gonna get fucking whacked. You know, that's how it happens. That's how fast it takes for a guy to get fucking whacked. Which is a line from Goodfellas. Here it is.
That's how it happens. That's how fast it takes for a guy to get whacked.
That's how it happens. That's how fast it takes for a guy to get whacked. If you get whacked, it means you get killed, get assassinated by the Italian-American mafia. So it's a slang word that you might hear in a Martin Scorsese film. You would pretty definitely hear it, certainly in the film Goodfellas. Moving on. Frolicking. The word frolicking. This means playing, jumping, dancing around. For example, frolicking in the water. Frolicking around in the water. If you are frolicking around, it means you're sort of jumping around, playing, dancing in the water, maybe splashing. That's frolicking in the water. You might frolic in a field, go frolicking in the water. Okay. Next is the word lax, which is an adjective. For example, the security at the embassy is very lax. You just walk through, you come in, you're like, do you want to see my passport? Do you want to scan my bag? No, don't worry. Just go through. It's fine. So very lax security here at the embassy, you might say. So lax means not caring enough about security or rules, being lazy about security. So a lax approach to air travel or very lax security at the hotel. And then finally, the word maze or a maze. A maze is something you might find in the garden of an old English stately home. Imagine the garden of an English stately home, like an old house in the countryside, like Downton Abbey or Hampton Court or something. You might see a maze in the garden somewhere. In a maze, there are hedges which have been grown to form a series of interconnected paths. And for fun, you have to find your way from one end to the other, or to find the middle of the maze without getting lost. That's a maze. Okay? It's green because it's made of hedges. Right, so I'll let you discover what actually happens in the stories and how all that language is actually featured. But those are some things, the grammar side, stuff for you to look out for, vocab stuff, stuff that hopefully will help you to understand the stories. And also you can look out for those words as they come up in the conversations. That's it for this introduction and for this little bit of pre-teaching of language. Now you can just sit back and listen as we let the game begin.
Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on another podcast. Paul's a very funny boy. His laugh I very much enjoy. Amber's got a lovely voice. If I could choose an accent, hers will be my choice. Yeah.
Let's get on with this. Let's get the show on the road.
Right. So let's move on to the Lion Game. I'm aware, I'm very aware that it's way past your bedtime, Amber.
Paul Sometimes I stay up.
Yeah. Paul's just getting started.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've decided to play a sort of lockdown Lion Game.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. And Amber, why don't you tell us what the theme of this is going to be? We've gone with a theme this time.
So we decided to talk about a night out. Going out. You know, we can't go out. So we're going to be talking about a memorable going out event.
Yes.
An outing.
Yeah, we decided that the instead of just doing three unrelated stories in the Lion Game, that we would try and sort of bring them all together under one theme. And yeah. The theme that we agreed upon was going out. But it's a night out, basically, because like in lockdown, we can't go out. So we're now fantasizing about times in the past when we have gone out. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the theme of this Lion Game. Okay. Okay, yeah. Then.
Amazing.
We all know how this works. Let's get started.
I've forgotten the rules. What are the points scoring system?
It's just one point.
That I'm going to lose anyway.
If you
won last time.
You did win last time, Paul. Yeah, you're winning now. You're a winner these days
You're on a winning
games.
Streak.
Yeah,
I
you're
think
on
you
a
won
winning...
the game before as well.
I think so, yeah. I think you did. So just a recap of the rules then. Someone tells a story. They give a little bit. Basically, tell us the thing that happened. You give a little statement. We investigate further by asking lots and lots of questions, like Columbo or any other detective for that matter. Mm-hmm. And then when we feel like we've asked a sufficient number of questions, and we then decide whether we think it's true or a lie. And then the storyteller reveals whether it is true or a lie. And if we guessed correctly, we get a point. If we guess incorrectly, the storyteller gets a point. Okay? So it's just one point So if I tell a story, you guess that it's true and it is true, then you get one point. But if Amber thought it was a lie, and in fact it was true, she doesn't get a point, but I do.
Okay.
All right? So who'd like to go first?
Yeah, so if you manage to convince... Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Yeah. So it's just one point. There's only one point in it, either if you get it right or...
Well, there could be two points.
Well, since Paul won...
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he should go first.
Every time we do this, there's always like a bit of confusion and disagreement over the rules. It's like... No one gives a shit.
But this is why I decided to ask the question again. But essentially, if I now tell my story and you both get the answer wrong, I get 2 points.
Yes.
I get a point per
person. Yeah.
Yeah, you get a point.
When you're the storyteller.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're the storyteller.
There are 2 points to be made.
Yeah, you can claim 2 points when you're telling the story. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's 1 point per person. So it's a maximum of 2 points.
And so it's a maximum of 4 points for the whole game.
That's mm-hmm. right. I suppose maximum of 4 points for the whole game. Yeah. Even though we're doing three stories, so, but it's a maximum of 4 points. Okay, let's get started. Paul, do you want to go first or what?
Yeah, if you want me to.
Go on. Paul, tell us a thing that happened or maybe didn't happen.
Maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. All right. After a night out, because we're talking about going out, mm-hmm. I ended up getting a taxi back home, completely bollock naked.
A naked taxi ride.
Bollock naked is a good expression, which just means naked to your balls.
Totally naked, including the balls. You know, you're every part of your body's naked, including the testicles. Exactly. As if there's ever a time when your balls are covered by little woolen ball protectors or something. That's not a thing, even in England. But no, so bollock naked, meaning completely stark naked. So you went out on a night out and you ended up taking a taxi home, but you were totally naked. You were bollock naked. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. Okay then. When was this? How old were you?
How old was I? This was a year ago. What month are we? I forgot what month we are. April. Mm. Yeah, yeah. So just under a year ago.
Jesus. I thought it was like when you were 19 or something.
Yeah, me too.
Just under a year ago.
No, it wasn't in France.
Where was it?
It was in Greece.
Sounding more believable already. I'm almost saying yes. I
mean, was it a stag?
Too much ouzo?
Was it a stag?
There was ouzo involved, yes.
Of course there was.
Was it a stag?
Was it a stag do? It wasn't a stag do, but it was linked to my stag do in 2017. So in 2017, so two of my best mates are Greek. Jason and Dimitri, who I think you've both met. Mm-hmm. And so for my stag do, they took me to on a surprise trip to Athens with two of my other mates. and we had a great time and it was amazing. And we decided, like, this was the first time that we'd ever done, like, ever really been on holiday together. Like, we've always hung out in London together because that's where they're all based, apart from a guy called Adam, who you've met as well, who's based in Paris. But anyway, we'd never been really together on holiday, like outside of the UK or Paris. And so they took me to Athens. It was amazing. And so we decided, like, why do we not do this every year? Why do we not get together, like, on a lads sort of holiday every year? So that's kind of become a thing. Well, it's become a thing. We did it once, which was last year. We tried to do it this year again, but the coronavirus situation happened, so we unfortunately didn't get to do it this time around. But anyway, they're both Greek, and they're from an island called Spetses.
So this happened on the island, did it? Spetses?
It did, yeah, because that's where they're from. That's where my mate Dimitri, his dad has got a house on the island. He also lives in Athens as well, his dad. So that's where we stayed for the stag do. And we went back to the island.
Spetses. And, okay.
Were you alone in this taxi?
No, I was not.
There was a driver. There was a driver there, I suppose.
Apart from the driver. Were the boys with you?
No, one of them was. Dimitri was.
Also
was
naked?
Me. No.
Not naked?
No.
He couldn't have lent you a tea?
Well, so it was kind of pre-planned, the whole thing.
Oh, was it?
They wanted you naked.
Yeah.
Were you bound?
Bound?
No, I wasn't bound.
Bound.
Were you scared? Wait,
bound meaning tied up? Were his arms or legs tied up?
Yeah. No, they sort of, well, I mean, they obviously planned it, but basically, I'm trying to figure out how much you should ask me questions, how much I should give in the details.
Well, so basically they did it on purpose. They're the ones who made you naked. They're the ones who stripped you of your clothes.
Was this at the beginning?
I stripped
of the
myself
evening?
No, what? It was at the end. Well, I mean, it was like once the night had ended.
You stripped yourself?
I stripped myself.
Just tell us the story then. Go on.
All right. So what happened was we went on a night out to like this club on the island, which is on like on the beach. And so it's kind of like on the beach, there's like a building and it's on the beach as well. And so at the end of the night, you know, people are heading home, whatever. And we had made a bet. My mate, Dimitri, had made a bet for me. He was like, right, I bet you get recognized in this club. Because when we were in Athens, friends together. Like, I got recognized a couple of times. I was like, there's no way, this island is so tiny, like no one knows who I am here. And like randomly at some point when we were near the bar ordering drinks, some guy was like, "Hey, what the fuck, France?" And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. And basically it was some French guy, obviously. He's like, "Hey, what the fuck, France?" So French people are everywhere on the planet.
It's true. They get around. It's too much holiday.
And so he'd bet me that someone would recognize it. I was like, your island, your piece of shit island, because we always talk about it being a piece of shit island. I was just like, there's no one's going to recognize me here. And he's like, what are you going to do if somebody does recognize you? Like, there had to be a bet. We were drunk, whatever. And I was like, mate, if somebody recognizes me, when this club closes, I will jump into the sea naked. And he was like, all right, cool, deal. So we made a deal. And when this French guy was like, "Eh, what the fuck?" Like, all my mates were like, "Way, fucking way." And so basically when it came the time, when the club finished and people were kind of heading home, like we walked down the beach a bit and I was like, all right, fuck it. So I got bollock naked, and my mate Dimitri, who'd set up the bet, was like, fuck it, I'll come in with you because I made you do it. Because in fact, what had happened, here's the real story, is that I didn't know that he'd set it up. Like, he had a mate, like he knows that whole island, he owns it basically. He doesn't own it, but he knows a bunch of people. And so he had a guy come up to me like, "Yeah, what the fuck?"
Oh, so he prepped this guy. He said,
he prepped the guy.
This
yeah,
guy over here is called Paul Taylor.
He's like, fuck it, I'll jump in with you. I'll go in with you since I set up the thing. Okay. And so he came in with me into the water, except my three other mates that were with me, because we had to get two taxis on the way home because there's five of us. So we couldn't all fit in one taxi to go home. So my three other mates at this stage proceeded to steal my clothes and get in the taxi and fuck off back to the Airbnb while my mate Dimitri stayed with me. And so we got out of the water. He had his clothes on the side of the water and I didn't. And basically we had to order a taxi.
Okay.
Does Dimitri speak Greek?
He does speak Greek, yeah.
I don't think a taxi driver would let in a naked English
person. Naked Englishman.
Also, I mean, because that he speaks Greek does bode in your favour.
What's the? I mean, why would it matter if he speaks Greek or not?
Because if you're both foreign, because if you can speak in Greek to the taxi driver and explain it, and you're not just foreign, that makes you a bit more legit.
Yeah, yeah, he's from the island. He grew up on the island. Like he's got family there. But like he knows all the businesses.
Paul, I am fond of a naked swim. I have many a time plunged into the deep. You know, naked. I love it. Mm-hmm. Friends, you know, whatever. But you could have kept your pants on. Why didn't you keep your pants on?
No, because he'd already.
This is a good theory. Okay,
he'd already said.
You're not especially a naked person.
No, because he said.
No, because I was literally convinced that no one would recognize. Like, who would recognize me on a small Greek island? So, and I'll tell you why I didn't have my boxers on was that. So in Athens, where there's also a club on the beach, whatever, we for a laugh after it's become a thing where we jump into the water after a night out. During my stag do, what we did is we all went into the water. We all kept our boxers on,
boxers, and then
came out
boxer shorts,
pants, yeah. Underwear, male underwear.
Yeah, right.
So we all went in, and when we came out, we put like our trousers back on and our t-shirts back on. And then at 5 o'clock in the morning, proceeded to go to a strip club, which is like obligatory on a. But the problem is, we all had like wet pants, based like wet through track. It was my plan. I took everything off because I don't know if you've ever done this where you do that, and then the thing is, you take your underwear and you dry yourself as much as you can with your underwear, and then you go commando, and then you put your jeans on and top.
Wait a minute, this is a technique where you can go skinny dipping and you actually use your underwear to dry you dry yourself, and then you go commando, which means to put your trousers on without any underwear.
Yeah, so it's you've never done that before.
I've never done that. I've never used that technique. That's quite a clever one. So let's say you're wearing a t-shirt, a pair of jeans, socks and shoes, and a pair of boxer shorts if you're a bloke.
Yeah, you can use your socks as well. The socks double, like, it depends on what kind of shoes you're wearing. If you're wearing like comfortable shoes and you can wear them without socks, you can take your boxer shorts and your socks to dry yourself off. And then they, they're wet, so you don't wear them, and then you put your t-shirt back on, your jeans back on, and your trousers back on, mm-hmm. but just without socks and underwear. So that was the plan.
Yeah.
I mean, I am enjoying the homoerotic image of you and your friends frolicking in the Greek sea. I mean, in the Aegean, were you? Just enjoying yourselves and then swinging commando into a strip club. I mean, don't get me wrong.
That was Athens, yeah. And then so Spetses was like, no, cool. I bet you. And so yeah.
Mm. Did people see you, Paul? Were you spotted with your?
No, not really. Maybe a couple out. People far off. Mm, it was kind of like the way the beach is laid out. Is that the club is kind of on the water, but then there's like a beach, you know, the beach kind of carries on. So we like went as far as way, like I went as far as way as possible, to you know, to fulfill the, cause obviously they weren't going to let it go. I was gonna be like, yeah, I'm not going in. We're all drunk, a bit of ouzo in there. And so, yeah, we went further down the beach. So there was a couple of people, you know, at four in the morning.
Mm. I don't remember seeing any photographs of you in the Paris newspaper, the French newspapers, completely naked on a Greek beach. But I mean, you're famous in France, but you're not
on
quite,
Hello Magazine.
You're not that famous yet.
No, luckily.
So you didn't
if
get.
I was Russell Brand.
Yeah, you didn't get.
I'd get paparazzied.
You didn't get papped, but it still could have happened. Amber, do you feel like you need any more details here?
I don't know. I mean, I think the thing is, Paul could give us those details, but it's like, what are you feeling, Luke? You think you're ready for a?
What did the taxi driver say?
Yeah.
What did he say? I don't know. He was speaking Greek. He doesn't. They don't really speak English on the island because it's a small, tiny island. And so he was chatting to my mate, Dimitri, and he was just, he was a little bit resistant. He's like, what the fuck's going on? And my mate Dimitri, who knows pretty much everyone on it, he didn't really know the taxi driver, like, you know, he wasn't his mate or anything, but he explained where he lived. And his family is like a pretty big family, Mavro Michalis. That's like a pretty big family. I mean, they're not like gangster.
Yeah, I was going to say, like the Greek mafia or like, they're a big
family.
Yeah,
I can't know what it is. They killed somebody. Yeah, the family, it was like a massive thing. Mavro Michalis, I can't remember.
Are you sure you're allowed,
anyway.
Are you sure you're able to say that on the podcast? Because you might get whacked now.
Yeah.
is a family prominent clan from the played a major role in modern Greek history. That's the Mavro Michalis family. Anyway, okay. All right. they're well known on. So he explained, like, my stupid English mate made a bet, blah blah blah. He's a comedian in France, whatever. And so the guy was fine.
The taxi driver had no choice, because if he hadn't taken you, then he would have got killed in the morning. But anyway. Shoes, Amber, you were saying?
Did you have your shoes?
Yeah, I did have my shoes.
Just okay. Naked with shoes.
So how bad was it? How difficult did it get? Or did you get away with it, basically? You get away with it without
did
any...
Did get away with
did
it?
Did you get really embarrassed
well,
by
I got,
anything?
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously, it's embarrassing, but, you know, when you're completely...
How did you call the taxi? Like, were you waiting at a taxi rank, or did you have to wait in the sea?
Are you standing by the side of the road with your arm raised, or maybe your cock? I don't know what. But
I mean, how did you go from secluded beach to inside the taxi with the negotiations?
I can't remember, but I think Dimitri must have called him or whatever it was. But the beach is on, like, the road follows the beach, like most beach towns, if you know what I mean. But the club is at like one end of the, if I, you know what I mean? Like the club is there, and the beach and the road follow the same path. So the road was, you know.
Hmm. Okay.
A couple of yards from.
I'm going with true on this one. It sounds very much like something that Paul would do with his mates. don't you think?
No, I don't.
You think it's bollocks? Literally.
I think it's literal bollocks. No, I mean, I like the idea a lot of the stolen clothes and, again, the naked frolicking with his chums. Very Greek, to be fair. But I I kind of think Dimitri would have lent him a tea. He's a very nice guy. And I think...
Yeah, it would have got a bit awkward. Really... It would have got a bit awkward in the taxi when all the fun was over. And it's like, okay, yeah, we did the thing. And then you got naked. You had to go in the taxi. And then he's like, no, no, you now have to sit next to me naked in the taxi.
Like, that would have been hilarious.
That would have been like, even though no one could see, the driver didn't care. And it's just you sitting next to Dimitri. And he's like, I love the way that you're sitting next to me naked.
Ripping.
I mean, first of all, we were drunk. And second of all, he just found it hilarious.
See, I think that's true. I think I can imagine that.
No. And also, like, when you're drunk, stumbling from a club, what seems like a good idea at first quickly loses memento. I don't know.
Momentum.
Yeah.
Memento.
Memento. I think I'm going to say no.
But his mates are so laddish that it's the sort of thing that, you know, oh, let's take his clothes. If fucking Paul's naked. Look at him.
Paul is, I don't know they're that kind of laddish. I don't know that they're naked lads.
They're the kind of let's humiliate Paul types, I think.
I went to Brighton University. I went to Sussex, which is in Brighton. There's a lot of beach. Mind you, it is cold. It's very cold. It's England. So you can't really compare.
This is June in...
a small island in Greece. There's probably not that many people
there. I'm still going to say no. I just don't see it. I just don't see I don't see Paul getting naked. I mean, he does drink
you
a lot.
You want to
so
see
possible.
It, but you're not
seeing it. I want to see it. I'm imagining it right now, Paul. I'm imagining it. But
and in
I'm going to say no.
Not a good look.
Right now and in the future. But
forever. It's going to be seared on my mind. You and Dimitri.
Yeah. Sharing an intimate taxi ride on a Greek island.
As you drip dry on the upholstery.
Okay, so Paul, the moment of truth, please.
What are you saying then?
I'm saying it's true.
He's saying true, and I'm saying false.
She's saying it's false. Lie. Yeah. So.
So the winner for round one is Miss Amber Minogue.
Oh, for
yes.
God. I could totally see that happening with your mates, but no, there's no element of truth to that at all. Then is there?
The element of truth was in Athens when we all went in together in our boxer shorts and completely soaked our trousers. When we put our trousers back on, 10 minutes later, we had like a wet patch around.
And then you went to a strip club.
And then we genuinely went to a strip club afterwards for 20 minutes.
With wet patches.
With wet pants.
Yeah, it was horrific.
Horrible.
Do you think that's the first time a group of lads have gone into a strip club with wet jeans before they went in? That took a fucking long time, didn't it, for you to get one?
Yeah.
I was not wanting to laugh. It's too horrible.
Sorry, so, yeah. Strip clubs are horrible places.
That was the only real thing. We didn't get together in Spetses last year, even though that's where I've never been to Spetses.
Oh, it was all lies. It just rolls. The thing about Paul, his lies, they roll off his tongue. They roll off.
Well, you got me on the shoes. I don't know why I said yes. I was so, you know, when you're so much into a story, like I managed to actually, when I was putting Louise to sleep earlier on, I was holding her in a baby carrier and walking with her to sleep. And I came up with a whole story because I was debating between it was a mixture of kind of two stories. And I was like, oh, let me just make a random one up. I was feeling creative.
Well done. So at the end of round one, Amber has got 1 point. Paul has got 1 point. I have got no points.
0 points.
So it's not looking good for me at this stage. So who's going to go next? Amber, you can go next.
Okay. Lockdown inspired. This is when I got a free flight from British Airways.
You got a free flight from British Airways. They were like, Amber.
I went up to the counter and I got a free flight. They gave me a free flight.
They said, we're British Airways. We love your British accent. So we're going to give you a free flight just for the love, just because we love your voice.
Was it in exchange for a voiceover that you did for them?
No.
Okay. They gave you a free flight. Okay. When?
I mean, go on.
It was quite a long time ago. I'd say it's probably...
How long ago?
That's right. It was in the late 90s.
The late 90s. Did it actually happen, or is this just a figment of your adult imagination.
Following a night out, I believed that I flew across the globe.
Hold on a minute. This is about a night out. So this is after a night out, you've got a free flight from British Airways.
So a free flight, yep.
So is it because you met somebody that works for them on a night out?
No.
So tell us a story. How did you get? So go on. So hold on. It's got to be some more questions. So where were you flying to? Where did you fly to?
Dublin.
Dublin. You flew to Dublin.
From?
London.
Okay.
So, which airport in London?
Yeah, go on.
Gatwick.
Okay.
What time? What's the flight number?
374. I don't know, morning-ish.
Okay. So like... Okay.
Why were you flying to Dublin?
I was going to see my friend Alice, who actually lives in Waterford.
So you went on a night out. And then in the morning, you were supposed to fly to Dublin, but they gave you a free flight. Okay, tell us first of all, before we like visit the scene in the airport, in Gatwick Airport, let's just take us through this night out. So wait a minute, you were going to go to Dublin to see who again? Sorry?
Alice.
All right. So Alice was in Dublin. So you went out on a night out. You went out on a night out then. So what was the night out? Who were you with? Where did you go? What did you do?
Well, I was in Brighton, which is where I was living. Hove, actually, at the time.
Crazy party town.
I was in Hove, crazy party town. And it was the holidays. The summer holidays. I'm pretty sure it was the summer holidays. The summer holidays. And Alice had invited me to stay with her in Ireland, which is where she's from.
Alice was with you in Brighton at the beginning of this story?
No, Alice had already gone home for the holidays, and I was joining her in the holidays. The summer holidays are long, you know, from university. And I was going to spend some time with her in Ireland, in Waterford, where she lives.
Okay.
And so had you already booked a flight?
Yeah. I'd booked a flight with Aer Lingus.
Aer Lingus.
Mm-hmm. Come on now. Aer Lingus. And I was flying to Dublin from Gatwick with another girl, Madeline. But I didn't like her much. And I thought she was a bit of a goody two shoes. And I was quite resentful she was coming away with us.
Goody two shoes?
She was a bit good.
Just always doing the right thing.
Doing the right thing, yeah, exactly.
Unlike
Was this before Ryanair and EasyJet?
Maybe.
Okay, so tell us about the night out then. So who did you go out with then?
So I can't remember.
Okay. I can't remember. Because? Because?
It was a long time ago.
Just because it was a long time ago.
It was a really long time ago.
Not because you drank a lot?
Yeah, it was just like a regular night out.
So you drank a lot then, I suppose.
Probably drank quite a bit.
Okay.
And Madeline.
Go on, keep going.
Madeline.
Well, Madeline was a person who I was meant to be meeting and flying to Dublin with. And she told me she was going to get to the airport what I thought was crazy early, like a couple of hours in advance. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that sounds ridiculous. She's a goody two shoes. That's why she's getting to the airport so early. Well, I'm not going to. I'm going to go a bit later because I'm quite cool. And I probably overslept a bit because I'd been out on a night out and I missed the flight.
Ah. So the night out, I'm still preoccupied by this.
Yeah.
The night out was just a normal night out. It wasn't like, did you get home that night? You slept in your own bed, etc.
Yeah, I think it was at home.
Okay.
In my own bed night. It was a sort of water, you know, probably a zap night. There was this club on the waterfront called the Zap, and we'd go there quite a lot. I think it was a zap night. We'd been out dancing, you know, and I thought, well, I'm just going to be cool. I'm too cool to get to the airport so early.
So you thought, I'll rock up with like 40 minutes left or something like that. I'll rock up with half an hour.
Or less. Yeah, exactly.
I'll leave it till the last minute. Is what you thought, because I'm cool. I'm too cool for school. And I'm not like Madeline, who's goody two shoes, and she's not cool.
And so Madeline got on the flight.
Clearly, yeah. And by the time I got to the airport, the flight had shut.
They'd shut the desk or whatever. Yeah, they weren't letting anyone check in.
They'd shut the desk, exactly.
Where does British Airways come into this? Because you got you had a flight with Aer Lingus.
That's right. I was flying with Aer Lingus, but I wasn't too cool for school. I was actually very uncool. And when I realised I'd missed the flight, I got really sad and confused. I was also very poor because I was a student, mm-hmm. and I started crying, and I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh, I thought it was more like a plane. But it's not. It's a plane. You have to get there much earlier. And so I started crying and I was looking around thinking, where can I go? Who can save me? And it felt very foreign where I was at the airport, you know, with all these foreign people and crazy names and places to go. And I saw British Airways like a beacon, like the British Embassy or something, beckoning me to their queue. I thought, that looks safe. British. It's got the word British in it. I'm still in Gatwick, but I felt very
lost. Wait a minute. The British Airways desk for you was like the British Embassy in the airport.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I thought they'll save me. So I started queuing up at the British Airways desk, but I started accelerating my crying. It got out of control and I was sort of hyperventilating, you know, when you start ugly crying and you're like
what, you were doing that on purpose or that was just
no I was just really sad.
You were genuinely upset because Madeleine was going to go and you weren't?
I don't know, maybe. And I think it just all got a bit much and I was probably still a bit hungover.
What time was your flight at?
I can't remember. It was in the morning.
Okay.
It was morning.
So you had to go from Brighton by train to Gatwick.
Yeah.
In the morning.
Yeah.
It's not that far because Gatwick is to the south of London, isn't it?
It's between London. It's
45 minutes.
Something like that. It's like an hour and something to London, you know,
It's probably about 45 minutes to Gatwick from Brighton. Yeah, something like that. Unless did you have to go to London, then go from London to Gatwick? I don't know if there's a direct train from Brighton.
It's a direct train.
Okay. Right, okay,
and so then, I was crying so much that they let me in front, they let me go, and then I got to British Airways desk and I was really crying, and I think the woman thought that something terrible had happened, something really awful, because she asked if I wanted a glass of water. I said no, and I told her
glass of vodka, please.
Like, does that glass of water have a plane ticket inside it?
And I told her I'd missed my flight and I was really sad. And she said, oh, don't worry. We can put you on the next one. And so she gave me a ticket and she took mine and she said, you need to go to the Aer Lingus desk and get this stamped. And it was only after she gave me the ticket that I realized, I wasn't flying with British Airways. I was flying with Aer Lingus. So then I took the flight like the next hour to Dublin with British Airways.
Wait a minute. You went to the Aer Lingus desk and they were like, sorry, we're closed in an Irish accent.
No, I didn't go to Aer Lingus at all. I went straight to British Airways.
When you entered the airport anyway, you were just like, oh, I'm in the airport. Oh, God, I'm confused. Oh, British Airways. And you went there and they're like, sorry, that flight is closed now. And then you were like,
why would you go to the Aer Lingus desk?
And then they're like, here's another ticket.
And I went to wherever you were meant to like go through the gate. And they were like, you can't go. You've missed your flight.
I see. And then you just, because you're so confused, you forgot completely about Aer Lingus. Instead, you went to British Airways and they just took pity on you because you were crying. And they're like, what are we going to do? There's a crying girl and she won't go away. Even the usual glass of water trick is not working. What should we do? Just give her a free ticket and make her fuck off. And so that's what they did. And then you took it and then you realized, wait a minute, I'm flying with Aer Lingus and British Airways just gave me a free ticket. And you just and you got on the plane.
Yes. And I had all my travel had to change because I had to get a coach from Dublin. I had to change that, everything.
This is in the late 90s, Paul. Do you think this sort of lax approach to air travel? It wouldn't happen today, would it? You couldn't just mosey on over to another airline and for them to just give you a free ticket. Oh, no, your daughter's crying.
Paul's daughter. It's the cat.
Oh, it's the cat, is it? Oh, sorry. Sorry, Paul. I just mistook your daughter for a cat.
Yeah, he sounds...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Paul, thoughts?
I'm going to go with true.
Okay. Any particular reason why?
A couple of things. Yeah, the fact that it was in the late, if it was in the late 90s, I'm willing to believe for two reasons that BA would do that. One is that if the next flight, no one's buying tickets for the next flight straight away, and so for them, they might as well fly with a bit of a like a fuller plate, whatever. I've heard of people going to airlines, or used at the time going to airlines, like half an hour before, just deciding, being like, hey, I'll pay like £5 for a ticket, and they say yes because it's better to fill the seat than it is to have it empty, whatever. And two, like back then, whatever marketing, I can see, like, if somebody's like crying, and you give that to somebody, you give them a free ticket or whatever, then they'll fly with you the next time because you feel like an affinity to them. Like it's like an old marketing trick. So I'm willing to believe that. And the only doubt that I have is like the fact that in the morning, just getting to Brighton, like for a flight, I'd be more stressed out, I think, especially as a student. I don't know.
Amber in the 90s, Paul.
It's true. I'm going to say yes. So it's true.
I think it's a lie. I'm definitely going to lose this game today. I can feel it in my bones. But I think it's a lie because I just don't know although this is the 90s, this is pre 9/11. Remember, after 9/11, the airports were like, right, security overload. And maybe before 9/11, flight companies did just sort of like give tickets to people who hadn't even bought a ticket with them. They were just like, she's crying, what should we do? Just give her a ticket. That'll make her go away. They're just giving tickets out left, right, and center to any Tom, Dick, and Harry. And so despite the fact that that's probably true, I think it's a lie just because your story was vague. There was like all these vague things at the beginning. And then I feel like we helped you to write the story. That's just how I feel. I feel like Paul and I helped to sort of like write the story as it went along. So I think it's a lie. I think you made the whole thing up.
Also, go on. I think it's true.
But all right, then.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah.
Well, the winner is Mr. Paul Taylor.
Oh, for God's sake. Oh, God.
It's true. I just
checked. Aer Lingus is part of the same group as BA. Like, they're all part of, like, the One World thing.
Oh, is it? Even back in the 90s? I just checked
that now. Right.
I don't know if that's the thing. Like, I don't know, back in the 90s. So you can see it's like...
Because when I did get my free ticket, they were like... The Aer Lingus lady was really grumpy and was like, what, you can't change this ticket? And I was like, I'm changing it for British Airways. I think I just cried so much. They were like, oh, my God, just... It's not the end of the world. And I think it was also because it was only to Dublin. We weren't going far. I wasn't flying to America. It was just a pretty shit flight. But yeah, I cried my way onto that flight. And forevermore, I thought British Airways was amazing. But British Airways got its own back on me when I flew to Kathmandu.
They took revenge on you when you flew to Kathmandu. What happened?
They lost my bags and for three weeks, we were traveling around Nepal and India. And then 3 weeks later, they finally found my bag. So for 6 weeks, my bag was gone. And I tried to get some compensation. They were like, oh no, your bag is not missing. We found it. And I was like, yeah, you found it in London. I'm in Kathmandu. Can it find its way to me? And they were like, well, no. But it wasn't lost, so I didn't get any money.
You didn't try the crying trick then?
I don't know. I think I've lost my edge. I don't think I could cry quite as hysterically as I managed to get up to back in the late 90s.
Yeah, because the parameters have changed. Like, missing a flight to Dublin to see your friend is not quite as bad as, in comparison to, how things are now, I suppose. Like, you know what I mean? You know what I'm trying to say?
I know what you're trying to say, but it's true. It's true.
Okay. Oh, God. So I've lost this. There's no way I can win today, just to say that.
You can win, no, but we can draw.
Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah. Okay.
We're on 2-2.
2-2-2-2.
This is what happened last time, I feel like.
Yeah.
It was, and then, like, basically at the end of your story, it's either we either draw you, it's going to be a strategic vote.
Another one of these strategic votes again.
Yeah.
Okay, so Paul's got 2 points. Amber's got 2 points. I've got nothing. So it all comes down to this. My story. I hope this is not an anticlimax. Okay, so here we go. So I once got chased out of a maze by security guards with dogs in Canada. Right? I got chased out of a maze
by security dogs.
By security guards armed with dogs. Can you be armed with dogs? You
no.
Can be armed with guns. You don't arm, you're not armed with dogs. Anyway, I was chased out of a maze by security guards with dogs in Canada.
Were they chasing you?
Hold on. Before we go any further, we have to explain what a maze is, because a lot of people won't know what a maze okay. is.
Labyrinth.
Labyrinth. They still don't know, because a lot of them aren't French. A maze. What is a maze?
With it. It's like basically labyrinth in every language.
Is it? In Chinese?
I think so. I don't know.
Is it labyrinth I bet you in it is. Japanese?
I don't know.
In it's, Korean?
It's a...
What is a labyrinth?
Come on, ton.
A labyrinth is like a sort of path you try to get lost in. It it can be, well, there's a maze and a labyrinth. They're not exactly the same. One is a complicated journey to the center, and one is a sort of complex sort of turns. You try to get to the center, but you can get lost and go down dead ends and things like that. So and they can, you can, in like big posh houses or like big castles and stuff like that, they might have one made of hedges, you know, like it's like sort of amusing. You kind of go around and get like lost.
A thing you have in a big park or a big garden of a posh house, like you say, and it's made of hedges, sort of made of like bushes, and it's designed in such a way that you go in and you've got to try and find your way to the middle, but it's difficult because you get lost on the way. And there's a maze, isn't there, in one of the Harry Potter stories.
Yeah.
The Goblet of Fire that ends in a maze.
Yeah, and it changes. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to find their way to the centre of a maze to find something.
Didn't someone die in that scene or something?
Yeah, probably.
Yes. And then there's that film, although it's called Labyrinth, you know, with David Bowie.
Oh, yeah. David Bowie.
David Bowie.
That's Adam Buxton's David Bowie. Yeah. David Bowie. I decided to do a new film called Labyrinth. Yeah, Labyrinth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's also, there's a film called The Maze Runner, which is about people who run through a maze. Sounds amazing.
Oh.
All right, anyway, do you want to know about my fucking story or what?
Well, I asked you a question. Were they chasing you?
Yes, they were chasing me.
Where in Canada?
Where in Canada? In Vancouver, somewhere in Vancouver. I don't know where I was, but I was in the region of Vancouver, yeah.
Okay.
Were you a child?
No, I was, let's see, how old was I? I was 20. Yeah, I was 20 years old.
Were you meant to be in that maze?
No.
Had you broken into the maze?
I think so. It's hard to know because I was quite drunk at the time. I was very, very drunk. I was quite drunk at the time, so I don't really know. But I think that we did trespass into the maze. I was with a group of other people. And
who
so,
were these other people?
So these were some guys. So I was with my cousin, first of all, because we did a sort of a road trip across Canada in the summer of 97. And so we met this guy on a Greyhound bus. These buses, you know, like these buses that take you on all these long journeys. So we met a guy on a Greyhound bus. And my cousin got talking to him, and he worked in a pizza shop. So he said, hey, come to our pizza place. We'll get you free pizza. So we went, got the free pizza. Then he invited us with his mates on a night out. It was a Friday. So he invited us out. And so we put our bags and stuff in our hostel that we were staying with. And we met up with these guys, and we went off on a mental night out, which involved lots of Canadian misadventures, and they were making us drink cocktails that I'd never heard of before, and we were going to these weird places, and then, you know, we were in cars, and we were driving around in cars, and I think some of them were drunk driving, which is a bit of a worry, and then we ended up in this big place, and then next thing you know, there's a maze, and we were running through the maze, and I was like, it was stupid, really. Like, I worked out, right, that if you're in a maze and you don't, if you're lost, you can actually, you can walk through the bushes You can just walk through those hedges. You know, they're quite easy to get through. You can just force your way through them. So I was kind of like crashing through this maze, not respecting the hedgerows. And in the morning, I woke up with terrible scratches all over my body. And so we were in this maze having fun. And then someone was like, run!
It's the busies.
Run! In a Canadian accent. And and there were sounds, there were dogs barking, and suddenly we were all running. And we were running and running and running.
Surely you could, none of you could see each other. Were you all together?
No, we'd been in the maze, and we were like on the sort of grass bank next to the maze. We'd stopped being in the maze at that point. We'd come out of the maze, okay. And we were hanging about. And then it was run, and next thing you know,
your initial sentence is bullshit then. You got chased out of
the
maze.
Well, I mean, okay, we were next to the maze. We were at the maze. We were sort of on the, you know, the premises
it's like
of the maze.
Drawing us out.
Hold on. What was this maze? Was it part of a big house?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. It was the middle of the night. I was quite drunk. I don't know where I was. You know when you're quite drunk and it's nighttime? You're only aware of what's going on, like maybe 2 or 3 feet or 2 or 3 meters in front of you. Like your radius of awareness like shrinks down a bit. So my head wasn't up. I wasn't like, oh, look, I'm here. Look, there's this kind of old house and we're in the garden of this old house. Instead, it was just like, oh, now I'm in the back of the car and now I'm at a maze, you know.
And did you all make it back to the cars?
Yeah, we all made it back. Okay, we all made it back to the cars. No one got mauled by a dog. No one got caught by a security guard. But it was pretty scary because we were running along and jumping over things. Like there were some sections where, you're not going to believe this, but we were like running and jumping over like little streams, running through ornamental gardens and stuff with rocks. And we were jumping from rock to rock and it was just really mad. And I didn't know. I was just following the person in front of me, praying that I wouldn't fall, hoping that I wouldn't get lost. And that I could keep up with the person in front of me. And I managed to do it. We jumped over the fence and we escaped.
Why were you in Canada?
Well, I did a road trip with my cousin, Oliver. We went to Canada and visited various places for about a month.
And broke into mazes.
We went traveling then. And broke into mazes and stuff, yeah.
And you point out Vancouver on that map behind you?
Yeah, it's like, it's over here and it's there.
All right.
Yeah, on the west coast, just up the road from San Francisco, Seattle, that kind of spot there on the end.
Okay.
West coast. Can you point out Seattle? Oh, that's the crucial thing. Like, he doesn't know where Vancouver is. It's a lie.
Paul, your feelings.
Don't want to know any more. You don't need to know any more details. I suppose I've told.
I don't know. You gave a lot of detail. I want to say true because you went into some details that were not even necessary during the telling of that story.
Which things?
trying to think now.
Like meeting the guy, the pizza, going for pizza and stuff.
Yeah. But now that you've just said that, I'm starting to doubt myself to be like, oh, you came up with that on purpose to, I don't know. You usually always tell the truth on these things. So maybe you're throwing us off by not telling us the truth. But I can totally imagine that happening because, first of all, Vancouver is a very green part of the world. So I can imagine there being a big park or estate or whatever with these massive bushes and ornamental gardens. Like it feels like a Vancouver type thing.
Yeah.
I can see that. But why would there be guards with dogs protecting botanical gardens?
Well, because if it's a mass, well, because it potentially, I mean, what I mean, if you're looking at it animal wise, it could be because I know in Australia they've got, in certain botanical gardens, they try and stop certain animals coming to eat the flowers and eat the shrubbery.
We weren't there to eat the flowers.
No, but the dogs didn't know that.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, but I mean, like, what, they've got security with dogs all night protecting this maze.
To be honest, yeah. Amber, I was as surprised as you are now when it was actually happening. That was the general tone of the whole evening of like, what the fuck is going on? Now we're getting chased out of a maze by dogs. What the
remember
fuck?
What kind of dog it was? Was it a
no,
little
I,
dog?
No, I didn't see the dogs. I didn't see any of the people who were chasing us. I mean, for all I know,
it was somebody with a loudspeaker.
Yeah, for all I know, it was just one of the group who was like, "Let's fuck with this English guy," and go run, and then watch the English guy run. Maybe that's what was happening. I don't know. I never saw the people chasing us or the dogs, nothing.
So they
quick,
weren't
run.
Snapping at your heels.
No, it was just quick run over these rocks and run through this big area. And it seemed to go on for quite a long time. And I was scared. I thought that I wasn't going to make it. But then I did.
Paul?
I think I'm going to say true.
I mean, I am also tempted to say true. Do we risk it? Do we risk a tie break?
Well, if we both say the same thing, we draw and Luke loses. If we don't say the same thing, then either I win or you win.
Mm. How important is it to you that I don't win?
I mean, that's the whole point of being here.
Well, because if we both say this, that's the thing. If we both say the same thing and we're wrong, it's a three-way tie, which could be cool. But the competitor in me is like, how do I make sure that neither of you win?
I think you have to come and break our legs or something, don't you? That's the only way it's going to work.
Well, Dimitri and his family.
Get Dimitri to come.
Dimitri and his family.
Yeah.
The Greek. I'm going to say true, even though I'm not even going to go for the tactical vote. I think it's true.
Okay. I mean,
because it's such a random. Like, it's not true, something in there's true. Well, it's pretty random. Like, in the sense of like getting us to come up with a night out.
That was Amber's idea.
That was my idea.
Yeah, but what I mean is like getting us to, like, if you have to think of a story, like to come up with that level of like getting chased out of a maze by dog. Unless you watched a film or a TV show today with mazes in it,
with running in mazes.
Yeah, I can.
Maze runner.
I'd have a difficult time thinking that you'd come up with that as a story for a drunk night out. Mm. You know, mine had like a bit of truth to it in the sense that like it was based on an experience that I had. It completely changed, you know, it was me going into the water, but then I was like, oh, it's funny if I get in a taxi afterwards.
The homoeroticism was true.
Yeah. I mean, your desire to be naked.
The sexual tension.
Very much
the sexual tension was very true.
So yeah, that's why I'm saying it's true, because I think it's too much of a good lie. It's too much of a good story, a made up story.
You mean the truth is stranger than fiction type thing?
Like, yeah.
Almost.
You know that.
Well, because if we were coming up with stories about a night out, like I'd expect you to come up with something. Like, you're a very creative person, but running out, like specifically Vancouver, running out of a maze. I don't know. It just seems like too good to be a lie.
Okay. It's the sort of thing, you know, you can't make that kind of stuff up. The truth is stranger than fiction.
You can, but
I know what you're saying. It's all right. It's all right. Amber?
I mean, I think you can make it up. I think you can make it up. But I've got no ability to think of lies, because my brain has been melted, like melted cheese.
By children.
Yeah. And I'm hoping your brain is the same. That's what I'm hoping. One last question. How high were these hedges?
Oh, they were pretty high as far as I remember. Higher than me. They were, I don't know, sort of taller than me. That's all I remember. I didn't stop to measure them.
Oh my gosh.
They were taller than I was and still am.
Mm.
Crucial piece of information. That was the real Columbo. Oh, there's just one more thing. How tall were the hedges? Oh, they were taller than you. Right. Guilty.
All right, then I'm going tactical, Paul. I'll say no.
You think it's a lie? You're saying it's a lie.
I'm saying lie. I'm going tactical.
Okay, then. Well, it is completely true, of course. As always, I always tell the truth.
My instincts were that it was true, but I was going tactical. There's no point in us all drawing.
So here we go. Paul is the winner.
That means Paul is the winner again.
That's right. I've got 1 point. Amber's got 2 points. Paul is victorious with a grand total of 3 points. Congratulations, Paul. Bra, bra, bra.
The winning streak continues.
It does, doesn't it?
You turned it around. I remember.
Yeah, it's a shame that people can't see the video, but I was doing like the, you know, the, I don't even know what that
swans.
Is.
Swans.
The swans, yeah. Check when out these guns.
Showing off your muscles by, I don't, how on earth can you describe that? On like, so,
it's like muscle builders. Bodybuilders, when they show off their muscles, instead of, you know, most people show their biceps by pointing their wrist towards their face, almost like, is it Rodin, the thinker?
Yeah.
In that sort of position. Whereas if you do it the other way and you twist it.
Yeah, it's that sort of thing that Arnold Schwarzenegger used to do at the beginning of his career. He got very famous for like pulling his arms up, pushing his fists out away from his head and showing off different muscles that were like, whoa, he's got loads of unnecessary muscles. That's amazing. Okay, well done, Paul. I wish that I...
What's my prize?
Your prize is respect.
The feeling of satisfaction.
You get to go to bed tonight at 3 o'clock in the morning with a big smile on your face, Paul.
Nice.
That's your prize, and you get
it
the
was all worth it.
You get all the respects of the citizens of Lapland. They're all going to be
Laplanders just sending me messages saying you're the winner.
Well done, Paul.
We knew that Luke was telling the truth. He never lies.
I need to get you on the live at some point. I need to get you both on live. I keep getting comments like, "Oh, where's Luke? Where's Amber?"
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, if, as long as you feel like we'd have something to contribute.
Oh, definitely. But I mean, it's at 6 p.m., so it's a little bit of a dodgy time.
It's okay. I can do 6 p.m. some days. You know, we kind of share the custody of our daughter during the day. So some days, yeah, I'm free at 6 p.m. Should do the two of us at the same time. Get Amber and Luke on the live. Amber and Luke are on the YouTube live. Amber and Luke are on the YouTube live. Yeah. Okay. Well, guys, thank you very much for taking part and staying up late. Amber,
I stayed up late. Just beginning. But no, it was really fun. And yeah, I look forward to a live.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what this sounds like over, like, the fact that there's any delay or anything like that in the audio. That it seems to be pretty good.
It's okay. We talked over each other a little bit. It's not the same as being there in real life, where we can actually, you know, it's easier to communicate in real life. But no, I think it worked all right. So now, you know, obviously the future is that we're going to be living in bunkers like the Teletubbies. So yeah, we'll still be able to do this, you know. So that's one positive thing to be gained from this entire. What's the word for a really bad experience? This entire ordeal that we're all going through around the world. Okay, well, thank you. Sleep well, and speak to you again soon, guys. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Cheers.
Bye. A virtual high five.
All right. High five.
All right.
Okay, guys.
Bye bye.
You can already see that chill in the glass out. That's a good thing. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. You got perfect ice.
You got perfect ice
and a really cold glass.
And a really cold glass.
Till then, I'll be somewhere getting better, been a dancing pigeon.
So that was the late night lockdown lying game with Amber and Paul. I hope you enjoyed it. Here I am now speaking to you again at the end of the episode. I've actually got hiccups. I'm just waiting for myself to hiccup. It's going to happen any second now, I can tell. The hiccups started a couple of minutes before I had to record this outro. And you're thinking, Luke, what are hiccups? Hiccups are when you kind of go like that. Weirdly, like literally moments before recording this, I was hiccupping all the time. And now I press record and start talking to you, the hiccups go away. What's going on? Have I found a cure for hiccups? This is it, isn't it? This is how you cure hiccups. people have always got like different approaches, different solutions when you have hiccups. There's always someone who goes, just breathe into a paper bag over and over again. That'll cure the hiccups. And it doesn't. And then there's someone who goes, just drink from the other side of a cup. Like, try and drink over the top of a cup from some water, like from a cup like that. Doesn't work. Drink water when you're standing on your head. That'll cure hiccups. That's what they say. That doesn't work. It makes it worse. And then there's always someone who's like, you know what you need? You need someone to give you a shock. And so when you least expect it, someone goes boo like that behind you and huh, gives you a shock. And that's supposed to cure your hiccups. There's loads of different theories. But I think I've discovered it because I still haven't hiccuped. And it's been about 2 minutes that I've been talking now. I think I've discovered the solution. Just record a podcast. Just record yourself on a podcast. You might need to, you know, spend 10 years building an audience and stuff. But anyway... This is one of my brother's tunes. It's called Sipping Gin, and it starts with a Jamie Oliver sample.
You can already see that chill in the glass out. That's a good thing. It's gorgeous.
Sipping Gin, right? Gin and tonic. It's a drink.
You got perfect ice.
You got perfect ice
and a really cold glass.
And a really cold glass.
Till then, I'll be somewhere getting better, been a dead sipping gin.
So anyway, I was talking about having hiccups, and the hiccups have gone. I swear I've found the solution to hiccups. Just record yourself on a podcast, the hiccups will go away. It's weird. I was expecting to have to kind of explain what hiccups are while I was hiccuping, but this me even mentioning the hiccup thing has been a complete waste of time because I'm not even hiccuping. I was thinking, oh, I'm going to hiccup my way through this outro and then I'll have to explain what hiccups are, but it's okay because I'll be doing it while I'll be talking, so they'll definitely know what hiccups are, but I still haven't done one yet. Anyway, that's just the way it goes. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, episode 663, a classic. The late night lockdown lying down speak English, boy. The late night lockdown lying game with Amber and Paul. Maybe I should just call it what am I going to call this episode? The lockdown lying game, the late night lockdown lying game. I don't know. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed it. Just a reminder, happy hour with Paul Taylor, 6 p.m. Central European time, weekdays on YouTube and Facebook. Just find Paul Taylor on YouTube or Facebook, and then you'll be able to watch his daily live streams. I mean, his audience really are people who speak French and English, because he does some bits in French and some bits in English. But you might like it if you're a Paul Taylor fan. If you're on Team Taylor, then you could listen to that or watch it. It's both. It's video and audio. Check it out. Paul has learned how to use the internet. He does live streams on YouTube and Facebook simultaneously.
Yo, lounge out, man. Yo, what up?
Okay. Now, if you've enjoyed this episode of The Lion Game, if you're fairly new to the podcast, I feel like I've had a fair number of new listeners recently. So if you've enjoyed this episode, you should know that there are lots of other Lion Game episodes in the archive. Just head over to teacherluke.co.uk and do a search of the archive for Lion Game. Do a search for in the archive. On an Apple Mac, you would do Command F and then type the words Lion Game. And that would help you find the episodes. I think on a PC, it's Control F, isn't it? Anyway, that's how you would search for episodes of The Lion Game. I've lost count of how many times we've done this on the podcast now. We've had stories about working on Keanu Reeves films, being bullied by members of Coldplay, meeting rock stars at Buddhist temples, seeing famous French films stars, let me say that bit again. I sort of said that wrong, didn't I? I said, me seeing famous French films stars. That's not how I'd say that. It's not how you're supposed to say that. Seeing famous French film stars on my roof, working as a pole dancer in Paris, stabbing yourself in the face accidentally with a kitchen knife, rolling cars on country roads, that means crashing them and making them roll over, knocking down walls in Japanese apartments, getting offered threesomes, that's when someone offers you a threesome. Would you like to come to bed with my boyfriend and me? That would be a threesome. All right. What else have we had in lying games in the past? And all kinds of other things. It could be a whole podcast of its own, couldn't it? In fact, it is a TV show. There is a TV show called Would I Lie to You, which is exactly the same concept as the lying game. But I swear that I started doing episodes of the lying game before I was even aware of Would I Lie to You. I promise. And anyway, I've been playing the lying game in English lessons before Would I Lie to You, the TV show, was even a thing. So anyway, just to let you know, I didn't steal the idea from TV, okay? I came up with it on my own. Thank you very much. If anything, they stole it from me. I don't think they did, but let's say that they might have done. You can imagine some TV executive. We've discovered this really cool concept on a podcast. He calls it the lying game, but we're going to take the idea and rebrand it. No one need ever know that we stole it. I don't think they did. Anyway, search YouTube for Would I Lie to You? It's a British panel comedy show where you get, you know, like two teams of guests and they're usually comedians and they play this game. It's quite fun. Anyway, there you go. Search the episode archive for Lying Game or search the archive in the app for Lying Game to find all the other episodes, and there are loads of them. That's it, isn't it? That is basically it. I'm not going to go on anymore at this point. I could do some other things, but I won't because time is being squeezed to the max. It's difficult. I've said before that I'm lucky to be able to keep doing this podcast during the lockdown, and I am. But I mean, so I'm really squeezing in the work, the podcast work, into very narrow little sections of time. Normally, obviously, my daughter's at creche and she's away, and so I get a chance to kind of work. But when she's not at creche, obviously, we've got to look after her, and that means I just, in most of the time, I don't really have a lot of time to do this. Is my English working today? I don't know. I'm waiting for the hiccups to come back. I'm doing this now at 9:30 p.m. and I still haven't had my dinner yet. I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. I'm very happy, but I'm just saying, just giving you a window into my life at this moment. It's all right, Luke, you're saying to yourselves, it's all right, don't worry, we understand, you're busy, blah, blah, blah. Don't make a big deal out of it. Okay, I won't make a big deal out of it. I will just say, episode 664 will come as soon as possible, as soon as I've had a chance to actually work on it for any length of time properly. The lockdown in France, because I live in France, even though people keep emailing me, messaging me all the time, saying, if I ever come to London, I'd love to meet you. It's like, well, good luck. I probably won't be there because I live in France. A lot of people just they don't realise. Anyway, lockdown is going to sort of end a bit on the 11th of May. I said before it would be the 4th of May. That's today. May the 4th, Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. I thought it would be the May the 4th. It's actually May the 11th. So we've got another week or so of this. Just going to try and make it into the 11th of May. And then the creches are going to kind of reopen. Some schools are going to reopen. Some stuff is going to open again. I think bars and restaurants and things are going to reopen. Basically, the world, you know, people are just going to emerge from lockdown, emerge blinking into the light, just rubbing their eyes like, oh, wow, what is this new world that we've come back to? Anyway, so 11th of May is when I think the daycare centre, the creche, childcare centre is going to reopen on a limited basis. I don't know if they're going to accept our daughter. They might decide, no, you're okay. You can continue looking after her. You've been doing okay this far. I don't know, but they might accept her. They might not. So it might be another week before I actually get proper time. But even then, I've still got like all sorts of things to do. And oh, you know what it means. You know what it's like. Life. What am I saying? Point is, new episodes should arrive soon. But it's all a question of time. Also, I've got to finish Premium Series 22. I'm only part of the way through that. So I've got to finish off those that series. And there's going to be at least two episodes of Premium Series 22 to come. So they'll probably get that. Then there's episode 664, 665. I haven't decided what they're going to be yet. And then episode 666 with James. That is in the pipeline. Not recorded yet, but we've been working on it. Okay, there you go. How are you, folks? What's the lockdown situation in your countries? Are you getting to the end? Is your country going to start lifting restrictions? Is that even a good idea? I don't know. I don't think we've seen the back of the coronavirus, that's for sure. I think it's going to come back. It's going to be like a monster from a slasher movie, from a horror film. You know, you think you've killed the monster, you've stabbed it in the head with a knife, and then you think it's the end of the film, and then doom, the monster's back again. Oh God, it's back. We've got another half an hour of this shit. We say half an hour, it could be 6 months. We don't know. Anyway, I'm not going to comment. I don't really know what I'm talking about. Anyway, what's it like? What's going on in your country? So are they lifting restrictions? Are the restrictions going to stay? Does everyone disagree? I don't know. Thank you anyway for listening to my podcast. No song today. I can't. Not ready. Not prepared. Not prepared to do a song. But anyway, thank you for listening. Speak to you again soon. But for now, goodbye. Bye. 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 Bye.
Thanks for listening to Luke's English podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.